All right, everybody, I knew that there was going to be lots of feedback and questions on my video about why it is so far never aliens.
And so immediately I started screenshotting comments, and now I've got answers for you. The first one from Adam: why only post this for 7 days? I feel like this video is one of the most worth watching again later, contemplating and sharing aliens, not aliens, being merely the examples for more important ideas. Is it on another platform? No, sorry, this was very confusing. I confused people at the end. The shirt is only available for 7 days. I said we're taking it down after 7 days. We're taking the shirt down after 7 days. And by the way, Adam, thank you. There were a lot of comments like this, but it is convenient in that I can tell you that actually now is the last time. So today, or possibly tomorrow, I'm not actually sure when we're uploading this. If it's Monday, tomorrow is the last day. Hank, do you believe we are alone in the universe? Honest question. No. Believe is, of course, a weird word. It would be extremely weird. It would be so improbable. One, life is, as far as we can tell, not a particularly high bar. One thing about us is there were a lot of circumstances that had to go right over the course of 4.5 billion years for life to turn into people that could make light bulbs and YouTube videos and hats and, you know, pop music. But even then, are there other complex organisms? Are there other intelligent organisms? Are there other technological species? Are there things even beyond what we are, whatever that might look like? I think all of that stuff exists. The universe is simply too big, and people will disagree with that. It's just the probability seems so low to me because the universe seems so big. But of course, we only have one example of it happening so far, so we do not know how rare it is, and I suppose it is possible that it is so rare that it's happened once in the universe. But if it's in another galaxy, that's basically impossible is a big word, but very difficult for us to ever know about it. And if it's in our galaxy, there's a higher chance that we would someday maybe know about it. The galaxies are very far apart. Like, you're used to thinking about how far apart stars are. That's a long way, but they're like right next to their next door neighbors. Stars in a galaxy are very close to each other compared to how far apart galaxies are. Does it get tiring to set up a whole 3-point lighting system when you're doing a format video? Is this the format? I saw your colored rim lighting and it had me thinking. It's not that complicated anymore. It used to be a lot more complicated. But like this little guy, this makes it easy. This guy makes it so easy. No one would ever suggest you use this the way that I use it. But this is just like a super bright lamp and it changes colors. I think I was using this at one point. I was doing this from one side and this from the other. Nah, it's not actually that hard. It's gotten so much easier with these like handheld things. And also with the sensitivity of cameras these days. But both of these are fun little tools. And this, like, literally in the stand-up shot, this guy was just like sitting on my couch, propped on something. I didn't even put it on a stand. Does Mr. Loeb have a book coming out soon? No, even better, he has a book that's already out, which means you can sell the book you've already written. And that's no work. It's just free money. Sorry, but I mean, when he goes on these interviews and he's like, I just published a paper. I didn't mean to get all of this attention. And he's like sitting next to his book. It's just, it does not feel very credible to me. Hank, are you familiar with the Bugosphere? So a couple of these things that I've put in the question lists here are things that people see as potentially good, like they might be aliens. And like maybe they're so far toward might be aliens that we should take them seriously as like evidence for aliens. The Bugosphere, to me, appears to be a hoax. It has a lot of hallmarks of a hoax. So there's like this footage of this metallic ball flying through the air. That's relatively easy to fake these days. And then there's a picture of the Bugosphere on the ground. And it's very heavy, but it's way too heavy for it to be like hanging from a drone. Are those the same spheres, or was there like one hanging from a drone and one on the ground? I mean, any special effects person will tell you that these things are fairly simple to do. And then if you look up close at like the art on the Bugosphere, it just looks to me like somebody's idea of what an alien orb would look like. Like, make it look like a circuit chip in the middle and then carve out some weird runes, but not like it was done by an advanced species. Make it look like it was done by a guy with something sharp. And the thing is that like the excitement that we have around potentially finding something as big as aliens doesn't just incentivize accepting lower quality evidence. It also incentivizes fakes. It incentivizes fraud, and there's been tons of fraud over the years. Like the original X-Files poster is a picture of a fraudulent UFO that was made like of hubcaps and scrap metal. And then it was just like, the picture was taken so that it looked like it was farther away than it is, because in pictures you can't tell how far away things are, which is another thing that makes things look weird a lot. If you cut the Earth perfectly in half, would the halves gravitate together or drift apart or something else? I'm not gonna do that. I wouldn't do that. That seems like a bad thing to do, but they would eventually form a sphere again. Has Hank ever made a video on why the solar system is a plane? Just search it on YouTube and you will find videos about how the protoplanetary disk formed just like a ball of gas, and when it's spinning, that spinning creates a squishing. So if you imagine
like a ball of water spinning, you imagine that it flattens out. So that's basically why. There's better explanations on YouTube and you should watch them. Will you still be okay with aliens arriving if it turns out that all other species that are interstellar are mechanical and not biological, and that species can only make that transition when they transition from mechanical to biological? I don't know what the make what transition is. I assume that it's in reference to what I was talking about, which was that we can survive as our frail intelligent selves. And so maybe that can only be done if you transition from mechanical to biological. Ultimately, it seems quite likely to me that if there are interstellar travels, that they would not be biological, because there's all kinds of limitations to biology that are harder to overcome. And you can just kind of turn off a computer and then turn it on when it gets somewhere. And if there's a consciousness there, it won't have to experience all of the time that it would take to go from one place to another in a galaxy. But I think it would be a very cool and interesting data point. I don't know that it would be thus that you could just then assume you can't survive without no longer being biological. I am like hugely in favor of remaining biological. At the same time, I recognize that in many ways, I'm not entirely biological. Like I already, just by virtue of the clothes I'm wearing, the glasses on my head, the phone that's always in my hand, there are lots of ways in which I'm already kind of a cyborg. I do think that the biology part is important. I do think that there's weirdly, I feel like a conservative when it comes to the human form. I think that humans should keep existing. I think that there's something nice about the flesh, but that's a topic for another video. So in my video, I talked about how people can feel like the elites are discounting aliens, and I very briefly discussed that, just as a thing that I didn't want to talk more about. But you ask, so I will continue to talk about it. The elites are something that exist in each individual's head. There are high status people. There are castes in our society. They could be pretty invisible, but they exist. Oftentimes, elites get cast as one party or another, but that is actually not the case. And generally, the elites are people who are seen as high status, as valuable by society. And that's real. That's a real effect. There are people that our society cares more about. And that has racial elements, and it has class elements, and it has gender elements. It has a bunch of different intersecting things. I assume that a sociologist could walk us through it and articulate it, but I think there is a thing. And I think that it's different in different people's heads, especially when it comes to that sense of, why are you so valuable when I'm not? Why is your opinion matter so much when mine doesn't? Why do you make so much money when I don't? All of that stuff. What about the time we used an entire bog roll in one day? John, I don't know what that is, but it sounds like you shouldn't do that. I'm just guessing. What were the Phoenix lights then? The Phoenix lights, 1997, two different series of lights outside of Phoenix, Arizona. Everything points to the fact that the official explanation appears to be correct, that one of them was a formation of planes flying together. That was a military test formation, and it was easy to interpret that as one very large thing rather than a bunch of individual things. And then the other one was definitely, for a lot of reasons, I think that the people have done a lot of work to analyze this, just flares being dropped in a military exercise. Sometimes planes will drop flares as countermeasures for people attacking them, or heat-seeking missiles, or I don't know, I'm not a military guy, but they drop flares. The other one was a bunch of flares that had been dropped, which is why they sort of stood there in the sky and very slowly descended and then just faded out. But they looked like they were closer than they were because they're extremely bright. So the Phoenix lights, really well explained one. I have picked a few here. So Bugosphere, definitely a hoax. It just has all the hallmarks of a hoax. Phoenix lights, a thing that happened that was easy to misinterpret when you looked at them, but was really well explained, but has sort of held on as a thing all these years later, but ultimately just military planes doing military testing stuff. But then also, I want to give you an example of something quite cool and interesting. No, I'm not calling her a fraud. This is a paper that recently came out. It was published, I think, in Nature, one of the most prestigious journals. It's peer-reviewed. And what the paper is talking about is these really old photographic plates from the 50s and 60s that took a picture of the sky every night. It was basically a sky survey. We still do these sky surveys. They are, in fact, how we found both Oumuamua and Three Eye Atlas. And we have a good idea of where all of the stars are. You can scan all these things, make a computer do a bunch of stuff, and identify anything that pops up and then goes away. So that's called a transient. And what, transients can be a bunch of different things. These days, they're often satellites. But back then, they definitely were not satellites because we didn't have any satellites. It was pre-Sputnik for the most part. And there's a bunch of things that these spots could be, but this paper does a bunch of work carving things off And so one of the big things is that they could just be flaws in the plate. They could be, you know, cosmic rays that hit it. But if they're actual objects in the sky, they will only appear lit up if the sun is actually shining. So if the objects would be in the Earth's shadow, then they wouldn't light up. They wouldn't be seen as spots. And what they found in this paper is that the transients are much more common if the object would be being hit by the sun versus if it would be in Earth's shadow. So what that indicates is that it's something. Like, it is actually a thing. It's not like a cosmic ray. It's not a defect in the plate. It's not like some weird thing that happened. It actually is a thing that was imaged. And then they tried to see if these were correlated with two different things. They tried to see if they were correlated with nuclear tests, which they were fairly tightly. So like the day after a nuclear test, there would be more of these. And they also tried to see if they were correlated with UAP sightings, UFO sightings, which they were, but much more weakly correlated to those. And they also found that there was a correlation between nuclear tests and UAP sightings. And one way to explain this would be to say, when we do a nuclear test, there's some extraterrestrials that come down and they're like, what are you guys doing down there? And then people see them and they are imaged as like little dots. They're like stars that appear and disappear. Like, you would think that they were a star if they were there the next night, but they weren't. I think that I'm explaining all of this correctly. I just tried to go down the rabbit hole and read the paper and before I did this. And people aren't going to like this. It feels exactly like what I was talking about, where it is this specific phenomenon where we have a thing that we don't understand, and then we go, aliens? Maybe aliens. You have a situation where the question that's actually being asked is not, why are these dots here in photographic plates from the 1950s? Why aren't they here in photographic plates from today? And that's something interesting. Like, why? What could it have been? Could it be that like high altitude nuclear tests left like little debris, and sometimes they would glint on the sun just momentarily, and that would create a little dot on the plate, and that only happened when they were in the sun and not when they are in Earth's shadow? And one of the things that people think is most weird about this is that oftentimes these dots appear in lines, like they are in a straight line. You have to remember that back in the 50s, these were really long exposures. They'd be like 50 minutes long. So if there's something that's moving across the sky and occasionally glinting sunlight down at the telescope, it would do that several times and in several spots over the course of the exposure. Like maybe a piece of metal from a high altitude nuclear test that we know is correlated with these transients was tumbling through the upper atmosphere and occasionally glinting stuff down at the telescope. I don't know if this is what's going on, but you would expect that to be happening in a line because the debris would be moving in a straight line as it tumbled. And now we're not doing nuclear tests in the atmosphere anymore, and so we don't see those anymore. Some unexplained thing can be explained by aliens. And if they say to you, well, how would you explain it? And you say, well, I don't know. Then they're like, confirmation, aliens. But no, again, like, so important. The second point of my video, ignorance is the default state. Not knowing doesn't require an explanation. It pulls us to keep looking. But if you just leap to an explanation that can explain anything, including the lack of evidence for it now, like it was there back then, but it's not there now, and you also are taking advantage of the excitement and the attention that that brings, it feels like exactly what I was talking about in the video. We're a little confused about something. A paper comes out very recently, so there's not like time to have responded and for people who know what they're talking about to look at that and respond to it and offer alternative hypotheses. It comes out, and now that's the thing, that's the proof for aliens. And look, the tone here, calling her a fraud, that's not what I did. But I did say that if you have a preference for a hypothesis, it can mess up your science. And also jumping from like, here's something that we can't explain, we've really dug deep and tried to figure out and are super interested in this question, jumping straight from that to maybe aliens. Again, I think that we overweight the hypothesis because it's more interesting. Isn't the Three-Eye Atlas object coming from the direction of the WOW signal? This is interesting to me. So Avi Loeb has made the case that both Oumuamua and Three-Eye Atlas are coming in at a very specific trajectory. But all trajectories are specific, and Oumuamua came in kind of perpendicular to the solar system and in the direction that the solar system moves through the galaxy. It's moving through the galaxy like this. The Oumuamua came in like this. That kind of makes sense to me, just to me. Like, it's just like a vibe that like, if we're moving this way, then we're like not moving in the same direction in the galaxy as us. We're kind of like run into it. So that was seen as like a weird thing. Like, isn't it weird that it's coming from this direction? But actually it makes kind of sense to me. But also like it was pitched as like, maybe they're doing that for a reason so that we don't detect them. So they're coming in from an undetectable angle from the top. But then Three-Eye Atlas comes in from the side, and Avi Loeb was like, that's very suspicious. And I'm like, okay. So both of these are suspicious, but for opposite reasons. And both of them have reasons why you might think it happened. Like, if the solar system is moving through the galaxy like this and it like runs into something, that's how Oumuamua would look. And like this, what we've got is a bunch of telescopes that are all pointed along the plane of the solar system, so they're more likely to catch objects that are along the plane of the solar system. And it was actually quite lucky that we caught Oumuamua. The Pan-STARRS, which is what caught Oumuamua, isn't usually pointed up there. It just does it a little bit. But it makes sense that we would detect objects that we can detect because we're pointing telescopes around there. But both of those were said to be weird, even though they were like opposite trajectories, and also there were other explanations for them. But also, isn't 3i Atlas coming from the direction of the WoW signal? I just think that we do this. Like, it's just pattern matching. But if it was coming like from the direction of Alpha Centauri, then we'd be like, oh, that's another reason to think why this could be a probe, is because it's coming from our nearest neighbor. It's a little like having a weird license plate. Like, if your license plate is like 343433, that would feel quite cool and random. But there's a lot of configurations that feel like something. If it was 686866, that would also feel weird. There's a lot of those. Like, my first phone number when I moved to Missoula was so good. It was like a bunch of repeating patterns. And now mine isn't anymore. But sometimes there are patterns. And saying this thing is coming from the direction that we detected the WoW signal from is like, well, first of all, not exactly. Like, within a pretty wide margin of error. And second, like, it was going to come from somewhere. And there's probably a lot more, like, ways that you could say that something's weird than you'd think. Like, if it was coming really close to Earth, then that would be interesting, but it's coming closer to Mars. You'd think that it would pick Earth if they were gonna pick. They'd pick us. Definitely, if they're like a super advanced civilization, they could tell that Earth was the most interesting of the planets. You know, it's the one that's got all the water in the atmosphere. It's got a bunch of oxygen. It's right smack dab in the middle of the habitable zone. I'd aim for us. So there's just like lots of different ways it could be weird, which makes none of the weird things actually weird. And this person says, hey, wonder how much you're being paid by the CIA or any of its fronts for this, eh? I'm pretty sure this was a joke, but I don't think I'd have to sell a t-shirt if the CIA was giving me that cash. My biggest concern is that if the Tic Tac aircraft is not aliens, what powerhouse country has that technology? I'm just remain unconvinced that the Tic Tac actually did all the things that people think the Tic Tac did versus the camera systems doing weird things and making it look like they're doing the things that we think the Tic Tac did, because things that violate the law of conservation of energy make me very skeptical. A fully, properly edited, scripted video on Hank's channel? What are you and what have you done with Hank? I've scripted some videos before. The fish video was similar to this one. I like doing this sometimes. Sometimes I feel like this is all I should do. And now that I've been working with Milo for over a year, it's just really great to be able to work with her on cool stuff that's a little out of our comfort zone. And last one here, I don't think it's aliens, but I do have a question. Why isn't 3i Atlas being caught by the sun's gravity? Everything else we see in the solar system is in some sort of orbit. It's being affected by the sun, but not caught by it. The only things we know that have escaped the sun's gravity are like the Voyager craft, and they had engines to push them away. There's a number of times when I feel like scientists have mostly made up their minds about something, but then they don't say it for a while. And one of those things is that it seems likely that there's a bunch of interstellar objects that have been captured by the sun. They're nearby, not like nearby, they're not like close in with Earth. There are some that have weird orbits that also seem to have weird characteristics. So they're not quite like comets from around here. I won't get into why. They're weird, but they're captured by the sun. And so we could actually much more easily get to them than we could to an object like 3i Atlas, which is moving through super fast. But the reason is that the energy that 3i Atlas had as it came into the solar system is more than Voyager had after we shot its rockets off. So it's had that energy the whole time, and it still has it, and it's just going to shoot straight through. So if it were going slower, it might then get captured by the sun. But it has so much energy that it already is past the escape velocity of the solar system. It came in with that energy. It will continue to have that energy. It will leave with that energy. And like, there's a bunch of places where that energy, that speed could have come from, but it could easily just be the difference of the speed of the originating planetary system and our solar system. Those things might be moving very fast in relation to each other. And so when it got kicked out of its planetary system, it already had that speed, still has that speed relative to the solar system, and it's just gonna fly right by. And those are all the questions and thoughts that I took screenshots of. Again, this is either the last day or the second to last day that you can get this shirt, depending on whether it's Monday or Tuesday. There's a link in the description. Thank you for your time.